Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omiyika Bidiako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Why, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space. Busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that blunt it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads. And let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. Just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once rendered mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit. We've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals. While the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold. Didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhyme. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. Just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. Well, we don't have time for fooling around. Let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one, or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Welcome, Alafia Hotep. Welcome to Care to Read. You have your advisor and your advocate here this evening on the Care to Read show. Our whole feature this month will be Spiritual Lifeline, My Mind, Body, Soul, and Spirit. We have been continuing on with the discussion of spirituality and what it means to be spiritual and how are you chosen to become a spiritual vessel. And if you're called into the profession, what is your outlined duties? This evening, our topic will be on the discussion of mental health, bipolar disorder, anxiety, and clinical depression. Could it possibly be derived from the middle passage struggle? Could it be a post-traumatic stress syndrome? Could it also be as a direct result of racism? And if so, is there any cure in the spiritual realm? And can we create an antidote so that we can debrief conditions without using drug therapy? We have a specialist that can answer those questions that is here in our audience today. And audience, if you will lend me your airwaves for 1 hour, I promise that I will give your world back to you in approximately 60 minutes. Thank you very much. And let me say hello to my guests that are waiting out there on the airwaves. I see their hands up. Let me say hello to our guest speaker, and then I will get to the next person. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Girl?
Hi. How you doing today,
hi,
Carol?
How you
can
doing?
You hear me?
Oh, yes. I hear you. I hear you well.
And this is Gail Bradford. She is
yes.
continuing on today to continue with the discussion on being a spiritual counselor and being a priestess. And we are going to address a number of things this evening. And I'd like to say that this show is brought to you by Project 2019 on behalf of the RIF and Care to Read. So whenever we do bring about guest speakers and discussions, we always try to implement a good book to recommend for reading. And one of the books that we're going to be featuring here today that can be used for a solution to brief clients from mental health disorders is the book. There is a two-volume book, to be exact, and that is the Meta-Netzer 1 and 2, which I will be talking about. Let me also say hello to the next person here. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. And I can't hear you. What is your name? What is your name?
Hello, this is Carolyn.
Oh, hi, Carolyn. Carolyn is going to be one of our guest speakers on Sunday. This lady works with vegetation and veget and natural holistic organic vegetables and food preparation. So we're going to have her on also Sunday. But we are going to hear from Carolyn. Carolyn wants to give a plugger about her event that she has scheduled for the 14th. And I'm going to pause right now and go to station identification. And right after that, Carolyn, I'm going to ask you to come back and just briefly give a little information about your event, if that's okay with you.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Hold for 1 second. We have a station identification. I'll be very brief and try to get right to the point so we can get on with this show.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy feet. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up. I'll be short. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff's case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you that this is a show you don't want to miss. I'd like to give you that phone number to call in, making sure that you are on the show this evening. That number is 646-478-0270. We'll be talking about spiritual lifeline conditions pertaining to spirituality and understanding mental health. Bipolar disorder, anxiety, could it be a direct result of a post-traumatic stress syndrome coming from the middle passage? And if it is there an antidote or possible debriefing of treating this condition through spirituality? Now, right now, I'd like to pause and bring on Carolyn to give you a brief introduction about her event. I've been knowing Carolyn for quite some time now. She has been a lady in the community who has been working towards health and wellness, and one of her aspirations is to provide a program for the people who are caregivers. It's a program where she's offering them a special day, and I'll let her go into the details about that, and she can give you that information. But before that, I want to give a shout-out to Harambe. And let's throw our fists in the air and say Harambe three times. Harambe! 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 Harambe means let's pull together, no matter what the weather. And this is on behalf of Delani, Brother Delani Amen, who is also out there working in the trenches to make things better for the African community at this particular point. Please do call in, Brother Harambe. if you're out there, call in and then tell us a little bit about what's going on in your show. Now I'm going to bring Carolyn on. Carolyn? Carolyn?
Yes. Ms.
Okay.
Sherelle?
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yes, hi. I just want to say any day above ground, I thank God to be able to serve him and to serve the people. I am the founder and CEO of Devoted to Healing. And we also have, we're surrounded by amazing, dynamic, passionate, strong board members who have the same passion to raise awareness and empower individuals that may have a life-threatening illness with a healthier lifestyle for wellness. And what our mission is to establish a care center based on holistic and natural spiritual healing, and it's designed to empower individuals lacking financial resources and family support, because I, too, you know, was healed from cancer and had other side effects. So I understand all of what people go through with illness. I understand caregivers that go through, and I understand the doctors that help people that have illness, whether it's Eastern or Western. And I now is a vegan, and I'd like to talk about our event that's coming up, and that's the Caregivers Appreciation Day, which is going to be Saturday, August the 14th. We have 25 more slots available for caregivers to get in free. After today, however, they will be paying $35 at the door registration. This is a fun day outing at Vail Island that is in Valparaiso, Indiana. You can go on my website for more information, which is www.devotedtohealing.org. That's DEVOTED, number 2, healing, healing.org. It has all the information. It's going to be a very good, fun day outing for caregivers. We're going to have a panel talking, a booth. Well, the booth is all gone, and today is also the last day for people to be able to sponsor and get their name in our souvenir ad book. So with that said, you can reach me also at my cell number, 219-309-9522, and that's www.devoted2healing.org. Thank you, Mr. Sherelle.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. I'd like to thank you for being able to come by and to give us those pluggers. It's an excellent program to support. I've been involved with Carolyn on a number of other occasions with other products that she is marketing as well, and I just have to applaud her for all the great work that she's been doing in trying to bring help to our community. I want to also say, Carolyn, that we are going to be supporting you in this community, and I will definitely try to spread the word. I'd like to involve you in our show, Carolyn, if you're going to be around for a while. We're going to get started on the topic for today, and our feature book for Care to Read is Medineter 1 and 2 by Ankh Asah, and that's by Ron Anefer Amen. These are a set of books that are tools that you would definitely find yourself benefiting from. I have been reading these books now for over 5 years, and they have become a manual for an instructional Bible for my household. And the subject tonight is debriefing African-Americans in our community who have been diagnosed with mental health disorders such as bipolar disorder, clinical depression, anxiety, and many other names that they might be adding on there. Now we are finding statistics are showing that schizophrenic is very high in the population of African-American male, where in the past this was a Eurocentric condition mainly diagnosed by women. Mainly women were diagnosed with this condition, and very few African-Americans ever were diagnosed with schizophrenia. However, in the mental health arena, there has been so many diagnoses now to the point where some people are questioning whether or not these are inappropriate or improper misdiagnoses. However, nevertheless, these people are showing up on the wards in the mental health clinic on medication, some being misdiagnosed. If they run into an anxiety attack, which anyone can have an anxiety attack when they start to breathe the wrong way and can be easily misdiagnosed, can they become a patient? Can they be misdiagnosed to the point where they are inundated with medicine to become a patient? If so, how does one tell the difference between an original state of mental health opposed to someone who doesn't have it? When you give the medication, you can mimic and look just like a patient, even though you may not be a mental health patient, because the medicine in and of itself has great side effects that can cause you to have the headaches as well as the desires to think about suicidal conditions. Now, why did I say that? I said that because some people who might be going through something in their family, depression, might need to have time to set out to come to their senses through light therapy, through treatment from massage therapy, aromatherapy. They might not need the heavy medications such that they normally give. Haldol is one of the main drugs I understand that they administer when a patient is brought into the hospital for those first 72 hours. Now, why am I saying 72 hours? 72 hours is the number of time that a doctor can hold you in the hospital without any regards to your family or yourself to properly examine you, to observe you for 72 hours to make sure that you are not posing a threat to yourself or others around you, or you have not become suicidal. Now, that 72-hour hold is what I want to picture for you, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have not had that experience, I'd like to tell you, I experienced it firsthand with a family member. I was devastated. My family was devastated. We had no idea what was going on. But nevertheless, I want you to know that at that particular point, the patient has no rights. They lose all rights because it becomes a court order. And in that situation, during those 72 hours, the patient can be heavily medicated. And if he is heavily medicated or she is heavily medicated, they become like a zombie-like. These medicines are deposited in the liver, and they can stay there for some length of time. So most patients, you can't go in and just take them off the drug. You have to gradually wean them off. So therefore, you have a patient-like status, even though they might not have been a patient going in. And I have been told that they can go into a level from depression right into the next stage of bipolar. I find that hard to believe because that happens over a considerable amount of time. So what am I saying? What are you saying, Omiika? I'm saying that could these conditions be mimicking a post-traumatic stress syndrome after coming through the middle passage? Could the conditions of our African people, of racism, have pose the problem within the lineage of their mind, causing them to not to have been treated, and possibly going to a point of having to receive some type of therapy, not necessarily drug therapy, but some type of therapy, even if it's prayer or meditation. But debriefing is definitely necessary for our people after we have come out of the middle passage. There is some type of debriefing in the spiritual realm that certainly must go on, and the churches must do this because it's a special type of treatment that they must have. And our expert in the audience today, Mrs. Bradford, is going to come back on, and we're going to have a discussion about clinical depression and how can it be treated through spiritual counseling. Mrs. Bradford, are you out there in the air?
No, I'm out there. I'm listening to all you're saying. And, you know, you have to take into account you know, you have more people using alcohol and drugs as never before. And that could be a great contributor to some of these psychotic episodes. You know, you get a lot of crack cocaine, heroin, whatever type of drugs they're using. And, you know, they don't know what's really in the drug. You just know what the dope man said it is. Okay? And often using drugs can tap in. You know, if you already have that tendency sort of, maybe you have an inheritance for it, and you using drugs, well, that can activate that.
Okay, let me.
That's an aspect you may want to look at.
Okay, let me ask a question. Because all these people are not using drugs, Ms. Bradford. All of these people are not using drugs, nor have they ever been drug addicts. And
okay.
I know for a fact that some of the clients were young students in school, and they weren't using drugs. That is the same story that the hospital and the actual psychotherapist wanted to claim. And you know what? They used that to disallow the person of their benefits, and they used that upon assessing the person and asking, had you ever smoked cocaine or had you ever smoked reefer? Of course they probably said, no, I never smoked cocaine, but have you ever tried reefer? Then they'll say, yes, I have. Okay, then you have a drug condition, and this is due to that.
Let me finish.
What I'm saying is when they say that, immediately, if they put on that paper that this person has smoked reefer before, it then mm-hmm. becomes a problem where they cannot get properly serviced. I don't want us to take a Eurocentric position because that is the thing that they want to put on people. There is a number of people who are carrying such heavy burdens, oppression because of not having employment, who are thoroughly become depressed because
of the conditions.
Well, you
got to cut to the chase.
And it's not all drug related. What the problem is that we've got to think clearly. We've never been debriefed. When we came back from the Middle Passage, no one ever debriefed us. I don't know about anybody else, but I was never debriefed. And when you're never debriefed, you can end up in the hospital with clinical post-traumatic stress syndrome, people. And if you're familiar with clinical post-traumatic stress, nothing has to actually happen to you other than you reflect back on conditions that might have happened in your past, and you begin to relive those reactions. That has also been diagnosed now. More than ever before, they're saying, okay, you got us. It is a post-traumatic stress. What I'm finding is that could be a problem, the post-traumatic stress. And it's supposed to mimic the same condition that they had in the war days when the Chinese were going through World War II. They demonstrated post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they're now finding that it's true. You can find people here in the United States that are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Even alcohol can act as a catalyst. You hear what I'm saying? Can tap into that trauma and cause it to manifest. Okay.
Well,
I don't concur with you on that.
Not alcohol, because I see too many people drink alcohol who are not depressed.
It depends on the person. What I'm trying to get you to see.
If we're saying alcohol brings about a mental health condition,
it can.
I have a son that's schizophrenic now, so I've been through what you're talking about.
No,
schizophrenic, and he's depressed.
I'm not saying that's the cause of it, Cheryl. It can.
Okay.
What I'm saying, if a person already has certain tendencies.
Okay, let me put this out there.
What you need to do is cut to the chase as to what made us prone to the drugs, alcohol, mental illness. That's what we need to be dealing with. You know what?
Right. Now this,
you
know,
made us vulnerable to all of this.
Ms. Bradford, let me say something, and I'm going to make myself very plain because I've worked with enough of these patients in the hospital to know what is also going on. There has been a long, long history of African-Americans suppressing feelings, and they always are bringing you in the meeting to say, let's get in touch with our childlike spirit and our feelings. When you allow feelings to come out, sometimes people have no control of them, and they've been suppressed for so long that they have to medicate this person to deal with their feelings. They may not have ever drank any alcohol.
Let me finish. Hold it now.
Let me finish my point. Can I both talk at the same time?
Okay.
I did listen to you. We're not going to give the audience the impression that we got all these alcoholics and they're bringing this on themselves. It might be a certain percentage, but not all of them. Some of them are becoming clinically depressed upon losing employment and losing economic status in their community. I know that. And some of them are in the church testifying, saying, you know, I've lost my house, I've lost everything, now I'm losing hope. Now, that's the point that we want to address. Yes, there's a lot of alcoholics going on, but right now it's not the cause of depression.
What I'm trying to say is, things like intoxicants, alcohol, drugs, whatever, if you're suppressing things, you know, when you're high or whatever, you're less inhibited, and that those type of things will come out. Whatever hostilities, whatever's bothering you, that's going to bring it out, okay? And the problem when alcohol and drugs do that, you have no control over.
Let me say this. Let me start the conversation over. We're talking about mental health right now. I think we're going down the wrong path. I need to redirect you. I am the captain of the ship, and I'm saying let's redirect back to the subject. The subject matter is mental health. How do we deal with it? Do we pray it away? Do we have them come in to hypnosis? Do we say go to hypnosis, open yourself up? Or do we say go to your pastor? Or do we say you have a spiritual counselor? This is what spiritual counselors do. In my job, I don't know what anybody else does, I guide people who are going through clinical depression through a spiritual counselor, and I talk to them. And most of the time, I don't ask them about how many times did you drink a beer or how many beers you drunk. At that point, I have to assess them where they are, and I have to begin to start to use some type of grief therapy because 9 times out of 10, they're going through grief, and you almost have to work with them in a way that you are bringing them back. And as you bring them back, the confidence level has to be built up. But at the same time, it might be a nutritional deficiency. Carolyn, the deficiency of people being deficient, we found that they were deficient in a number of the minerals. And most of the time, the cravings come for various different things, but deficiency was also a big problem.
Well, first of all, Cheryl, I never said alcohol and drugs cause the mental illness. What I'm saying that if you're suppressing emotions that, you know, that you've had and you're suppressing them, the alcohol and drugs will bring them out.
Again, let me ask you this.
As a spiritual counselor,
have you ever directed someone, and what recommendation did you give them when you were directing them
to go within themselves? You see, you have to go within yourself, and you got to trust that process. And like I said, you know, the emotional problems often that you have got in you through some trauma that puts you in a trance state, okay? And how that got in you, you got to use the same method to get it out of you.
And I definitely go along with that trance state, because on this planet, you see so many people throwing themselves into a trance after going out getting angry, and they don't know how to use that
state.
They can't bring themselves back. I've seen that before.
It's no such, you can come back if it's a natural trance. If now, if you use some type of drug to get in that trance, now I don't know, but if it's a natural trance, it's no such thing as not being able to come back.
Uh-huh. Now, I've seen where people can accelerate themselves to a point of anger. Any one of us in this room, we don't have to even taste alcohol. If we get angry enough and we start seeing stars, we can put ourselves in a trance. And sometimes
you are in a trance if you're angry like that, seeing stars. That's a trance.
You can do that. Yeah.
You know,
now let's get back
you go in and
point
out of trances all
the point that we're trying to make here today, Ms. Bradford, and I think for the listening audience, we're looking for solutions. We're not trying to be diagnosticians, because whatever the case of how they got there, the point is they're there now. Now we need to figure out how to take them to the next level. So in looking for solutions, when a clinical therapist is called in, they just give you the diagnosis and say, what is the cure and what are the things can you use? They bring people in to do music therapy. They bring them in to do sound therapy. And I come in and do grief therapy. I counsel with them on grief therapy. Now, there's a process of bringing them back and trying to get them out of the state. But no one has ever talked about how we use spirituality to do this. And I felt that it would be necessary to talk about how do you use a spiritualist and what does a spiritualist do?
Well,
what tools do they use when they come on board?
Ultimately, what I guide everybody back to themselves, because ultimately you have to take control of your own consciousness. All that is basically the answer, is taking control of your own consciousness, determining how you will think, how you will respond to any external stimuli. See, the external, like we just said yesterday, you don't have a lot of control over that. It's the internal that you have the absolute control of.
So
and
are
this
we
takes
saying
work,
that there is
and
no
it takes,
solution?
It takes time.
Let me ask you a question, Ms. Bradford. Are you saying that there is no solution in the spirit realm?
Going within, that is the spirit realm, dear.
No. I'm asking, is there any solution with the priest? If a person came to the priest, would he be able to guide that person and assist them?
That's what
I'm
telling you. I'm guiding them back. I'm pressing them back to themselves. You see, somebody in that state, you know, their minds are all out in space. Okay, you want them to come back to themselves.
So they need a guided. They need a.
They
guided,
need a guidance for that. You know, a lot
they
of people
cannot,
are talking,
so then,
they don't
so
know how to look
do
within.
It.
You see what I'm saying? They don't know how to look within. You so programmed
okay.
to look into somebody else or something else. You got to teach that person to look within themselves. See what I'm
okay.
saying? See, nobody's gonna care about you and do like
and
yourself.
You know,
like
I think
you
I
would.
Wanna clarify something, Ms. Bradford. I think we're on the same page, but you keep turning the page over. I'm not saying this person is supposed to do it alone. I'm asking you, as a spiritual counselor, what type of treatment package or recommendation do you normally give? And is
well,
there a way
you know that depends for- on the what access that person has too. You know, maybe like you were saying with the medication, maybe that's the only access that person has. The herbs,
okay.
they're good
now,
if you can get with the right
practitioner. What our people are going to have to do that are out there that where they're finding these large pocket holes of young children, not just older children who are drinking,
yep.
young children who are in high school who have never taken a drink in their life, they've become hopeless. And so hopeless to the point of wanting to commit suicide, wanting to leave this earth. They've never touched a drink in their life, and these are students that I've worked with. So what I'm saying is a number of counselors were saying it appears to be some post-traumatic stress syndrome. But
well, you know,
in a community – now, I need to talk and say this, Carol. I mean, not Carol, Ms. Bradford.
Okay.
I need to try to get this out there. These are students – who are in school who have had a long time disconnections from friends and peers, and they don't feel connected, and they feel like they're on their own, and they have given up. And they're not alcoholics. No, under no circumstances do they even drink at all. These are students who literally become so depressed that they've been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they've seen so many battles. They've been on the battleground in their community. They have been struggling through living and living beyond the age of 25 years old because they think they're going to die. So these young people have gotten to the point of being hopeless. Now, what they have found is with that post-traumatic stress syndrome, it's triggered every time they hear a gunfire, every time they see a fight. Now, that brings me to the violence and the high escalated violence in our community. For what reason? The anger. Why is it going on? And are innocent people being subject to being locked in as if they are prisoners within their own community and within their own self? And is this posing a problem of depression for them? I think so. And I think, yes, we have a certain percentage of those that are just doing a whole bunch of things, drinking and smoking when they shouldn't. It will definitely come up in their diagnosis. But those people are going to be taken care of through proper diagnosis and drug therapy, because that's the way they are reaching out. But then there's others who are not reaching out for the drugs. Is there an alternative? And is there another
drug therapy? Well, what did I said, looking within. You see, you can't look to the external to nurture you. You have to learn, again, how to nurture yourself. You got to learn to be a light unto yourself. See, you know, we're in a place where the left side of the brain is ruling. The intellect is ruling. And, you know, if you know the nature of the intellect, it looks at everything external. Everything external influences it. See, what they need is, well, meditation first will help them calm themselves. And they can go within and deal with whatever fear and stresses that they have. Because, see, the reason I say going within, nobody knows you like you do.
Now,
you know,
given that we are going to take them on as a counselor, we're going to take them on a journey to recount their steps and go back over the steps, because you can't find a solution unless you find the solution within yourself. We all know that. But as you travel that group therapy and you do group dynamics, there is a process, and it's not all with you alone. And I've seen some people
do a divination.
They will do a divination. Also, that divination will show for those very sick people. Sometimes it will show a number of things that the person didn't even know that was going on in their life. And then they have to play a part in trying to get back to themselves. But at the same time, that divination is very important because it tells them what is going on.
Well,
you know,
sure. This is what meditation does. You see what I'm saying? That's a process that you have to trust. Meditation, this is what's going to show them what's going on inside them. Things will come up during a meditation that you never get. You thought you long forgotten. And you start
you
to
a
realize
meditation, a meditation?
During meditation. I'm telling you. I know.
I would believe that meditation would definitely be a part of the remedy. I think some people don't even aspire to meditation. So
I know this. This is what
that.
I'm here to encourage. It's often it's because they don't know about it. They don't know anything about it or have been taught that it's something evil.
That is one modality, but we can also look at diet. We can look at diet, and we can also try to make sure
and again, with those other things like I told you before, does this person have access to? This is what you got to
look at the diet. As we look at their diet,
the diet also.
The diet may have had the deficiency that we can try to balance off the diet, and doing that helps as well. But the meditation, you don't see the benefit of meditation till you don't meditate one time and see the benefits. You're going to have to be a long time meditator.
No, I guarantee you will see the benefits enough. You'll want to do it again. I guarantee you that.
And I've been meditating now for about 10 years. And when I first meditated,
you're still doing it, ain't you?
yes, but I'm saying I'm doing it because I was informed about the benefits and I read up on the benefits prior to doing it. But for somebody who don't really understand that it takes more than one session to see the benefits, we as guidance counselors and spiritual counselors will have to have a roadmap and a mechanism of a treatment plan of some sort.
Well,
now,
let me go back to
racism, because there are new centers popping up all over, and these racism centers are popping up because a lot of people have been diagnosed with suffering from a lot of unnecessary pain that they can't explain to the point of becoming disabled. And it has disabled them to they can't even be in the workforce. So there's some agencies out there to help these people.
Well, you know what, Cheryl,
I want to talk about debriefing. Let me ask you this, Ms. Bradford. I want to talk about debriefing because we're going to say that debriefing centers are brand new for the African American, and most people don't even know what they are. Debriefing centers will be a whole segment of activities and treatments that we would take a group through. And as we go through these debriefing segments and routines, everyone gets relief, and they begin to start to free up this suppression that they have. And these are all done by trained therapists, and a lot of them happen to have background in clinical counseling. Some of them are ministers. Some of them are spiritual counselors. Now, I do know when they come in the picture, they have different tools they use. They have different tools that they use all together than some other diagnostician. And whereas some doctors will say, we're going to put them on treatment immediately. A clinical therapist may say, okay, we're going to follow those orders. But at the same time, a spiritual counselor may not put that person on any, would not recommend
well,
it.
Well, you know,
on
maybe
medicine.
Sometimes, Cheryl.
That's not their tool.
I might. Depending on, I have to assess the person now. I might meditate and call spirits in their behalf until the person is strong enough.
Absolutely.
Then I'm gonna help them do it themselves.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to say here. That meditation, again, like you said, with what's happening to people in the workplace. See, meditation even will help change the vibration that you even put out. People that used to mess with you, that used to pick on you, it can even change that.
For some people who are not familiar with meditation, I am one, even though I was in the Christian faith for many years, I've always meditated, and I learned this from my brother who was a Muslim, so we meditated together. So I've been meditating a long time, transcendental meditation as well as Kabbalah meditation. So it is great benefits from meditating, but I didn't notice it first.
People, the
I was lost like some of the
methods,
other people are.
You know, that the way they can use their mind, their subconscious, you see. And most of our people are unaware of this. They're so used to being talked to. You know, somebody sitting them on a bench talking to them. Talk is cheap. You know, they need to know how to use that power that each human being has.
Now, I'm going to
I don't encourage people to be dependent on me or any other spiritual person, not even Jesus Christ. I don't encourage that. They learn to go within themselves.
They have to be able to go back and carry it out because the veil has been torn. So you can go boldly on your own behalf, and you don't have to petition for this. But the thing when you're weak,
you
can't do it.
Learn how to petition yourself. This is what I encourage. I like people spiritually independent.
Now, let me move on this topic. And this topic, we had hoped to talk about the different types of alternative non-drug products out there. There are a number of holistic whole foods that are coming on the market now. You can go online and find these whole foods that work with the serotonin level. And the serotonin level is where the message is carried over to the brain. And for some of the diagnoses, like attention deficit disorder, ADHD, those students yes. are not able to carry the message over across the brain. So they give something called choline. And choline is a factor that will help stimulate the serotonin. And that choline will help carry the message over. So that is a natural product that processes goes on in the brain. And for some doctors that are chiropractor or holistic doctors, they
well,
would
you know,
recommend
I feel
the choline.
The area of the holistic doctor, okay, to prescribe herbs and medicine. That's truly not my realm to do that. As a
well,
spiritual
no,
doctor.
I'm
only
saying,
thing I can maybe tell them that these things exist. You know, that
well,
there are like sour herbs. Put it this way, I can inform them that these things exist, but it's not my job to
describe
that.
I don't think you heard me. I did not say, I said that we are talking about holistic, also alternative, not something that a specialist would recommend, but these are things that are out there for the patient who wants to explore non-drug therapy for themselves.
Yeah.
And if they are healthy enough and if they are working with the clinical nutrition or a dietitian that aspires to holistic foods, they are out there. And believe it or not, if a spiritualist never recommended to you, if you have enough consciousness on your own, you begin to explore those. And some people have because they have not fared very well on the drug treatment. The drug treatment had more side effects and more ill effects that they found themselves having to come off the medicine and find other alternatives. Now, for those people that are going to chiropractors or holistic naturopathic doctors, they're also working with essential fatty acids, which is omega-3s. They are using those successfully because it's supposed to work on the serotonin level and the fats in the essential fatty acid. So there are a number of different things that you can talk to your doctor about to ask him if your nutrition can, you know, help you to find the whole foods. What I want to talk about is drug treatment and why so many people don't know that there are other alternative treatments out there because they're stuck and they don't know it and they feel like, you know, their life is a mess on the medication and they want to get off and they want help. So are they available?
Well, this is where the spiritual counselors, the dietitians, and holistic doctors, we all work together. You know, I can recommend that they see a holistic doctor, you know, to help prescribe the herbs and whatnot. But I feel meditate. The spiritual practices will strengthen all of that.
Right.
Because,
and
again,
when you're dealing with spiritual practice, you don't have to use it. You don't have to use the holistic thing because you're dealing with the spirit, which is what your practice is.
Well, see,
and
this is, you know, the spirit is just like a muscle. It has, you got to practice to strengthen it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As you meditate, you become better at it.
Oh, yeah.
And so
it's
you
just
got
a muscle.
To,
it has
to be. You got to work that. And sometimes, like you say, some people have been able to go off their medicine. Some people have,
mm-hmm.
it was less form. Some people were found alternative. That's a spirituality where you start to even think that there could be alternative.
Well,
see,
I
that's
know
the
at
kind
one
of
time,
growth
in
consciousness.
At one time, the African community at one time solely depended on their ministers for counseling. They didn't go to psychiatrists. They got
yep.
their redirection from their spiritual counselor and their minister. And here lately, they have not been going to their minister or spiritual counselor. And I don't
well,
know why. Why the breakdown?
Well,
why?
I'm
going to
tell you why.
Breakdown?
I'm going to tell you why. As we integrated, we became more left-brained, more intellectual. And now what the preachers say just ain't simply enough of. That's the basic reason. We became more left-brained. You know, as we started to go into the colleges and getting the pieces of paper, the degrees and stuff, that strengthens the left hemisphere. And so, you know, the left hemisphere, like I told you yesterday, is never satisfied. So what the preacher's saying, what the elders say, you know, that's old-fashioned. It ain't good enough. And that's also the reason, again, the increased use of the alcohol and drugs in our community. That left hemisphere.
Let me say this again. Now, anytime you have a series of alcohol and drugs in your community, there could be a number of things going on, a number of things, because we don't have planes to bring drugs over here. And when they get here, they have to get here somewhere by flight. So we already know about that situation. I won't even get into that question of conspiracy.
Yeah.
That's another whole topic.
Yes.
But what I will say is that it is no coincidence that drugs end up in the community and alcohol is on every corner. That's another whole topic for discussion. But I am going to talk about things that we can do something about. And what we can do something about is make the spiritualists known in the community, like I'm trying to do, for example.
Well, to help us be much less vulnerable to external forces.
Well, I'm trying to, Ms. Redford, if you don't mind, I'm trying to let people know that she's in the community and that she's available and approachable. So a lot of people don't know who these people are, and it's our fault because, see, as we get older, we have to pass the baton. We have to make that information known so that people will know to exercise their rights. But if they don't know you're a spiritualist and you're in a community, and they know nothing about it, how can they seek a position if they don't know it exists? So if more of us will come out of the closet and start helping the community, because this is a communal problem. This is not an individual problem. When one person is taking drugs or dope in the community, it is affecting the whole community. If you're African-centered at all, it affects the whole community because we are on their us concept and not an I concept, an individual. When the one person, the Buddhists teach this too in the fivefold path, if one person is offending, if that person is offensive, the whole community become offended. So we have to heal that one person to make the community heal. And we're not here to point the finger at how it happened, where it came from. There's so many different directions of how mental health comes about, and nobody has the answer to it, not even in their crystal ball. But the main thing is that people tend to heal one another. And I do know the human body, when reconnected together, do far better in a struggle than they do alone. So we can go in ourselves all we want. Until we have the support system of a family and of friends, it will do no good. And you have to have a teacher. You have to have a teacher. There's nobody self-guided in this world. Someone mentors you. Someone brings you out of something. And when you go at it as a group collectively, you always fare better. Because if you think you're doing something on your own, even in your own strength, you're not. You have collaborative operations that are working on the inside with you for your benefit. So as these young people hear my voice, at the sound of my voice, know this, young people, and for those people who may be stuck in a spiritual rim of not being able to pull yourself out, I want you to know one thing. You are not alone, and all you need to do is call forth your angels and assisting you and pointing out what that problem is and helping you to go somewhere where you're amongst people. Because whenever someone tries to attack you, they disconnect you from the group. That is how depression starts. When they disconnect you from the group, you're so vulnerable, you can be broken down. But I don't care if you are connected to the group and you got something going on, I'm willing to bet that you're going to make it through that thing because you got the support system. But once you disconnect, I don't care how many pills or treatments they give you, you don't fare as well in your treatment plan without the support. And they first bring in the family, and they bring in a surrogate group of people to support you in order for your treatment to go well. Now, in my spiritual counseling, I must always say we must be connected to a source of people, someone with like mind, so that this thing will work. Otherwise, that person's treatment plan will not work. What I'm asking about is what is wrong with our community where we are so secret that we have not revealed who we are, the gifts we have, and the abilities to be able to pray with that person and guide them. What I've seen in the past is a misuse of the mental health arena with patients that come in that could easily come off the drugs, go back into the community. They get them so addicted that those people now are permanent patients, and they don't know how to come back into society. And our churches are not hooked up enough to grasp those people back into society. I know
I'm going to do my part. Excuse me. When you spoke of, like, calling on your angels and protectors, don't you realize a lot of people don't know how to do that?
That's why you need to come into the place and start
counseling. What I tried to tell you earlier. That's my job, to help them learn how to do that. You see what I'm saying? You know, there are things that protect us that we don't see. You know, there are shepherds, or angels, as you want to call them, the gods. That protects us, but you have to know how to connect with them.
And you know what? We have to stop making everything a secret and keeping all information included.
Oh, I ain't no change my game. My house be full of
folks. I mean, some people have made it so exclusive, Ms. Bradford. They don't want people
to know what you're saying.
They keep it for their own protection, and then they find out they're not even effective. They think they're effective, but when you don't use something, it's a muscle too. You lose it.
Yes.
So you got a lot of people who have this skill. They don't want anybody to know. They're in such a high secret society that they don't even let anyone know or offer their services.
Well, they don't let many people in either.
Right.
I know what you're talking about with that one. But no, honey, ain't no thing to my game.
What I want to say is this. A general consensus is that we come together and we make ourselves known in the community,
we can all act in the way that we help in the best way that we can help.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But
everybody is not going to be strong everywhere.
We have not heard anything about any spiritualist coming forward. We may look in the window, and all we see is the stuff about readers, but we never see anybody say, I'm a spiritualist, I can help, and these are some things I can help you with to get you back on your path. And on that note, we're counting down to 60 seconds. I'd like to thank our guests today. I'd like to thank those listening people out there, because mental health can be eradicated, just like illiteracy can, with the help of those Christians and the spiritualists out there, as well as the alternative non-drug therapy people who have information that they can render to the community, because our community is suffering, be it through alcohol, drugs, or what have you. They are suffering, and there needs to be something to eradicate the problem. And we intend to talk about this. And hopefully on our next occasion tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Mrs. Carroll, and she is one of our local writers in the community, and we'll be talking about books. And remember, I did recommend to you Medinetra 1 and 2, so please go and find that book. And if anyone asks you, where did you get the book, and just invite them to purchase their book.
Excuse me, I'm not cutting you off, but the pronunciation of the book is Medinetra.
Right.
That's the correct pronunciation. Medinetra.
Well, there's no accent there, so I got the spoken terminology from the actual person who wrote the book, and they do also said it's interchangeable, Medu or Medir. You can use either one of those because there's no accent there.
Yeah, Medinetra.
And as far as enunciating, it's not as important that we enunciate, that we make ourselves available, and that's what I'm doing
also
here today.
By the same author, here's another one. That was good. I was right quick. It's called Healing the Errors of Living through Harmony.
Who's that by?
Ron Unesserman, same Medinetra author, through homeopathy, music, and meditation. called Healing the
Air. And I'm familiar with this music.
Now,
okay. The music is important because there are chants on there, and you have to understand that they are now creating music that has holosync in it, and that holosync is for healing the deep inner cores of the body, and there is a method of healing through sound therapy, and that is something that I've been working with in sound therapy. Now, people, pardon me if I don't pronounce all these metanectors and things right, but one thing I am doing right, I'm making myself available to you. So if I'm available, then you're fortunate. I can crucify a name that's metanectar. It's not something that comes to us easily. I'm not a metanectar person. I am IFA, and through the IFA community, I'm making myself available. So we're going to come together, be it metanectar and IFA, we're going to come together in the realm of the spirit and help heal our community. And Ms. Bradford, I say to you, thank you. Keep putting yourself out there, letting people know you're available, and start, you know, opening up your doors to teach young people to pass on all of these gifts you have.
Oh, like, well, honey, like I told you before, ain't no shame to my game. My door is open. I have, like,
okay,
10, 15 young fellas at my house almost every day, so I'm open and available.
That's great. Listen, audience, I hope you heard that she is open. Mrs. Bradford is...
Anybody in East Chicago, Indiana, probably know me already. As Ernie's auntie. Okay.
That's great. And not to be offensive to the audience, but audience, we do have to go in a few minutes. We are going to be off the air. I'm going to give you your airways back and your world back and invite you to continue to stay with us throughout this segment. This is just one hot topic that we were talking about on mental health that needed to be addressed. And there are many more that we're going to be addressed. And we won't always come to the same conclusion and believe the same thing because we're all sprung from different sources. But at the same time, we could come together on one commonality, is that we are unified, one unit, one purpose, and one aim. And if we stay on that track, we will be about the business of healing our communities and bringing about peace in our community and restoring peace. That is the main thing that we are looking to do, to bring peace back in our community with sober minds and sober brains, not intoxicated, not someone who's dying from AIDS or drugs, but we want healthy communities. And that's what this is all about. And Mrs. Bradford, I'd like to thank you for sharing and giving us your rendition and information on spirituality and how our communities can be saved through spiritual counseling. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And may God be with you. And I say Ajuba, blessings to you. And once again, as the countdown comes, they're counting down now, I'd like to say stay with us on this channel. We are going to be around for tomorrow. We are going to have Carolyn tomorrow, Mrs. Carol, who is a writer. And then on Friday, we should have Mr. Macklin, who actually produced Freddy's Cookies. And these are holistic cookies, and he makes everything from all-purpose whole flour. He'll be discussing his experience in becoming an entrepreneur and how he got involved in writing his own recipe and developing his own cookies. And we'll talk about those tasty cookies. And then we're going to go right into talking about raw milk and the benefits of raw milk and the political things that are going on with raw milk right now in Massachusetts and how we can be a support system to band together for the right of raw milk to be distributed in Massachusetts. We know that it's holistic, it's healthy, and it's something that we want on our shelves so that the people who are vegan and don't understand that a complete wholesome diet would mean with all the amino acids, and kefir is an alternative to drinking milk, which it is not a dairy product. It is made from wheat. And we're going to be discussing the kefir and how people are making kefir now and using it in their diets so that they're not depleted of the B vitamins and all of their A vitamins. And please do join us. Stay with us. And most of all, follow us through this segment as we go through mind, body, soul, and spirit. It's a spiritual lifeline, and that spiritual lifeline will holistically make you abundant in all your affairs because you can become rich in your health. You can become rich in your endowment for obtaining education. Let us not think ourselves stiff-necked
And because we have knowledge or education, we must learn to share that. That's the richness in our education. And I have tried to give my education to my community and give myself to my community. If I never said another thing and left this earth tomorrow, one thing you can say about Sherelle Garth Omiyinka 7, she made herself available to the community, and she endowed herself in the community, because it's something that I love more than anything else is my people. And I tell you to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you've done all that you can to the stand, remain standing. And when you can't stand anymore, still stand. Though the winds may come, and they will come, and the storms may come, through it all, remain standing. Connect yourself with somebody today. Connect yourself with somebody and reconnect that great giant chain of our ancestors as we climb over the backs of our ancestors, because it's their backs who we stand up on, their shoulders, and they're the some reason why we came today. Nothing else, not for ourselves, it's for the reason so that we can run on to see what the end is going to be. And I'm going to run on to see what the end is going to be. I'm going to take myself down to Canaan land, and I'm going to see what the end is going to be.
I'm on my way.
On my way. Yes. The Canaan land. Talking about Canaan land.
I'm on my way.
I'd like to thank our listening audience for joining us today.
I'm on my way, talking about Canaan land.
Canaan land.
Thank you, and do join us for another segment of Care to Read as we venture off into a spiritual lifeline connection. Thank you. Odabo.